to The Drop, the official podcast of the 130th Air Lift Wing. I'm your host, First Lieutenant DeJuan Haley. It's UTA weekend, and in this episode, we'll review highlights from the previous UTA, discuss upcoming events for this weekend, and lastly, have a conversation about mission execution, the third priority set by our wing commander. Leading this discussion are our wing commander, Colonel Richard Switzer, Command Chief Jeff King, and special guest, Lieutenant Colonel John Zirkle, the commander of the 130th Airlift Squadron. Now, Colonel Switzer, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, it's good to be back in the seat with you, DeJuan. Thanks for the introduction. Appreciate Colonel Zirkle, John, for joining us today. And as we look forward to April UTA, obviously our number one priority is always readiness. And I'd like to take the opportunity just real quick before we get into what we'll be doing this weekend, but to look back at what we accomplished in March. And so if you remember, we executed two pretty significant muscle movements for the wing with March Medical Madness and the Diagnostic Fitness Test under the new Air Force construct for fitness. And really just want to give a shout out to everybody that had a hand, especially the medical group with the help of SURF-P, now the Seaburn Task Force, the detachment there in the med group, and everybody, all the UHMs across the wing that really made Medical March Madness a success. That's something that we instituted some time ago, and it's really driven some smoother processes with a whole aspect of really a goal of getting back time to the units and to their airmen. So we've streamlined things down there in the medical group, and they've done a fantastic job with that. And at the same time, we also executed a wing-wide fitness diagnostic, Chief. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And first, I'd like to start off by giving props to FSS, who owns the whole program from the wing. They did a great job, you know, outlining that, coordinating with the units, the unit fitness program manager. So kudos to FSS for pulling that off. And also to unit fitness program managers for, you know, that a lot of details went into that, a lot of scheduling, a lot of coordination, and the units themselves for supporting what we needed. And they got it done. And most importantly, thank you to the airmen. We had over 600 people take that test with a couple of units or squadrons deployed. So that was a really good number. You know, we're going to continue that diagnostic the next couple of months until we get to 100%. But last month, over 600 airmen took that test, which gave us some good data points. And it kind of put us where at KWWS, know where we stand at. So excellent job on that.
Yeah, like with everything, you know, we take these things. It is a good opportunity to know where we stand, and that's exactly what we found out last month and really sets the table moving ahead as, we welcome back the ops, maintenance, and mission support, mission generation force element deployment that came back, and we're going to get John a chance to talk about that a little more. But as we move into April, you know, just continuing to highlight individual medical readiness, AFSC readiness, and overall mission readiness. You know, that's the cornerstone. It's the foundation of what we do here at the wing. It's what enables us to get after any tasking, priority, or effort that gets sent down to the wing. So our charge to the units this weekend is just to continue that readiness training, take the opportunity for those folks that are coming back in off their deployments to re-engage with some of those baseline events that they need to refresh themselves on and continue to knock out all those readiness requirements. And, of course, it wouldn't be a drill weekend, Chief, if we didn't have some retirements and promotions to highlight. So I know we've got a few Chiefs retiring this weekend. You want to talk about those?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Unfortunately, we do have some retirements, pretty significant retirements in the Chief category. So Chief Eric Condon is going to retire, Chief Jay Lopez is retiring, and Chief Rader's retiring. You know, all three of them have been at the wing. Chief Rader's been at headquarters the last few years, but she was down to one. She started in the 130th sustainment, has been part of the 130th family forever. But all three have had a great career, and we're going to miss all three of those. So if you have a chance to go out and support them at the retirements, please do so.
Yeah, they've had outstanding careers, as you said, Chief, and with their retirement, that provides some opportunity for other airmen to step up into those roles, and then subsequently other folks that will get to move into to additional roles within the wing. But my hat's off to all three of those individuals. I had a chance, fortunately, throughout my career to work with all of them individually, and three outstanding airmen and fantastic Chiefs leaving the organization this weekend. They'll certainly be missed, so we thank them for their service. And then moving on to a promotion that we have this weekend with Lieutenant Colonel Copeland in the med group. We'll be promoting him to Colonel. That'll be on Sunday. He's the chief of aerospace medicine down there. And so we'll do that Sunday. I think it's at 1500 in the wing briefing room. And then we have another significant promotion in the wing, right, Chief?
We do. We have a promotion to Chief, and congratulations to Senior Hans Kokersberger up in vehicle maintenance. We're looking forward to his promotion this weekend, and congratulations to him. That's a big milestone in one's career to make Chief, so shout out to him. And also, before we move on, we do have one more significant thing going on this weekend, which is Saturday, the Hall of Honor. We're going to honor Colonel Bill Peters, and so we look forward to doing that.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we had a couple delays there with getting that ceremony underway with the government shutdown in the fall, but happy to welcome Colonel Peters back to the wing and his family, and it's an outstanding way to honor him as the next inductee into the Hall of Honor, and certainly well-deserved. And as we move ahead, you know, for the last couple months, we've been talking about the wing priorities, so we started this kind of three-part series talking about ready airmen and what it means for every individual airman to be ready, airman development, what we do at the unit level, at the NCO and senior NCO level to develop future leaders within our organization. And this month, we're going to talk about the importance of mission execution, which, you know, I've said this a couple times. People say, why is that number three, you know, on the priority list? Well, they're all three priorities. They're all number one, really. But really, we put mission execution last on that list. It is the most important thing we do. It's why we're here. But it's built upon the foundation of having ready airmen and developing airmen to be the best individuals they can be. So we're happy to have John Zirkle join us from the Airlift Squadron. He's fresh off a deployment to the Horn of Africa, and we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the changing environment, kind of what they did over there and what that means for our airmen. And so I get to start out with the first question here, John, and just say, you know, what do you think mission execution means for our airmen in today's complex environment, especially given the current conflict with Iran?
All right, sir. Thanks. So, yeah, we left in December, flew out to Africa. We were part of the 75th Expeditionary Airlift Squadron out there. So kind of learned when I got there that I was in charge of both ops and maintenance. So we were all one squadron. We had 135 people that we were that were all driving the mission out there. So normal ops for us, we basically were just flying the ATO. We had a couple of what we call logistics lines that we would fly daily. So it was kind of cookie cutter, those kind of missions, but those weren't the ones that the guys really wanted to do, or me. And one of the things I walked away with from the deployment was that really the HERC mentality hasn't changed in 20 years. Everybody wants to lean forward. They all wanted the tough missions, man. And we did get a couple of really cool airdrops while we were out there. We had some pretty dangerous ones, I would say, based off of the adversary we were facing out there. The guys knocked it out of the park, and I think for them, really what it was all about was just the challenge. I think that's what fueled them, what kept them going, and the bosses were real happy with that as well. As it moved to the right towards the end of the deployment, as you guys know, things started to spin up to the east. So really, at my level, the discussions started to center around, one, how do we operate slick C-130Js in alongside of the Marine C-130s we had there, the AFSOC guys, a lot of the Army guys were in charge, and they kind of were looking to us to see, hey, if this does happen, how do we even use you guys, right? So it was kind of cool to be a part of that conversation while we were out there. Definitely started driving some, I won't say worries, but concerns from my perspective as to how we were going to operate in that theater. But the guys and gals were 100% on board. That said, it all kind of kicked off right as we were going out the door, so we basically executed that mission, and then were able to get out of there before everything started cooking off. But just to keep it brief, we lean forward, we like the challenge, and that's what mission execution is all about for us. But of course, it all starts with preparing. And I think you had a question about that too.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you think about as a unit commander, you know, because we do live in a world where things can change. You saw how quickly that happened while you guys were over. And as a matter of fact, as you guys were getting ready to go out the door, one of the messages that we talked about was, you're probably going to have a lot of these, what I would call milk runs and kind of your channel lines and stuff like that, like you were talking about, and maybe not as many of the challenging ones as the guys and girls in ops and maintenance like to lean into, but how do you keep your individual airmen focused on what potentially could be next? And, you know, what foundations do you try to build upon and instill in the airmen so that they're just ready for whatever those challenges are?
I think that all starts with, you know, before we even leave, right? First, preparing to go and operate in an environment where you have to stay flexible and adaptable is, it's all part of it, right? And that starts with the spin-up training. So we worked really hard to make sure that we had the orders and resources necessary to make sure everybody was ready to go, not to use the slogan, but we did, to get out the door, right? So, and that's all the tactical training from integrated mission sorties where you're doing, you're simulating, you know, airborne command and control, you're chucking wrenches into the plan to make the airmen have to make decisions on the fly, all on top of their fundamental training, right? Which the fundamental is key for us. I always like to stress that we always need to maintain the basics. AMC has added a lot of certifications, a lot of extra training. Initially, that was all for the Pacific Theater conflict, but now it's bled into everything we do, right? So we carried that into HOA and would also carry it to the East if we were ever asked to do so. But that tactical training was very important. I think the guys and girls did a really good job of knocking that out and taking it seriously. On top of that, you know, just mental and physical preparation with you and your family, I think is key, right? Because if you're not grounded when you're going out the door in that aspect, then you're not ready, right? So they all showed ready to rock, and they went out the door, and we all made it happen. But I think that really the key aspect is preparation, man. Just knocking out that required tactical training, taking it seriously, because you're going to be employing it out. You're going to be employing some aspect of it out in theater, maybe not all of it, but a good bit of it. And then just mentally and physically preparing, and spiritually preparing yourself to go out and, you know, face obstacles that are, you know, potentially very dangerous.
Yeah. So, hey, Colonel, you mentioned both the physical and mental part about that. You know, when a lot of people think about the physical part, especially when you're at home station, they're thinking about the test or a score, right? But it's more about endurance. It's about the long hours and long days. That's the physical part that I think you have to kind of prepare yourself. And that's what we're trying to prepare for here, home station, before you deploy.
Right. And no, that's a good point. And it's endurance not only in physical hardships and the mental stress associated with overwork, it's the mental stress associated with underwork. Because there were blank periods right over the holidays where the guys did not get the airlift they wanted. And now idle hands are the devil's playground, right? So we're all worried about, oh gosh, what are they going to get into now? but they held it together pretty well. And then, of course, out of nowhere, it's hurry up and wait, right? So out of nowhere, spike. And we got a crap ton of missions, and the guys were ready to rock. I think there's a healthy balance between overwork and underwork, right? And that's what we were looking for out there. Didn't always get it, but we made good relationships with people across the joint and coalition world, and were able to knock out some really cool missions while we're out there. So
yeah, and you also talked about mental, and you know, I always think about being mentally ready doesn't mean you're stress free, but you're ready to handle that stress.
Yeah, no, of course, and I mean the best thing we can do with that is once, like I said, talk to your family, make sure you know the risk before you go out the door, right, and what you're fighting for, and then simulating that to the max extent possible in the training environment prior to going. And then other than that, just making sure they have everything that they need tactically and operationally to be able to execute when they're downrange. And I think we did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, for the mental part of it, I mean, you get to lean on your peers. I mean, you have to feel comfortable talking to commanders. And then a lot of times you got to feel comfortable asking for help if you need it, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's the three key parts of your mental part, the mental preparation.
Yeah, one of the things you talked about there, John, I think is really good is that pairs well with where we're driving our leaders, you know, in terms of mission command and more decentralized actions on the part of folks that are going out there and executing the mission. And you talked a little bit about your preparation for deployment. Can you highlight some specific things, or maybe take one of those examples that said, this is how we utilized our time in UTA or in our training building up to the deployment to allow folks to lean forward, you know, knowing that you might fail at some training missions, you might challenge each other a little bit too much, but, you know, some of those things that you might have done before the deployment that kind of helps maintaining that mindset of mission command and doing things in a little bit more dynamic environment.
Yeah, of course. So really a lot of that was AMC directed. They built the certification syllabus for that particular event. There's integrated mission sorties, levels 1, 2, and 3. Once you get to 2, it gets a little bit more difficult. 3, we're getting real difficult, right? And so we're chucking scenarios at the aircraft commanders on purpose to have them, to force them to make decisions with very little information, right? Which is all part of being an officer in general. But in a tactical sense, they're not used to that, right? So that's part of the training event itself. The guys did an excellent job with that. Again, that was more centered around AMC's desire to be ready for an island hopping campaign. However, it translates very well into just maintaining adaptability, period, right? That's really how we trained for it. Out there, I can tell you as well, they were very ready to send us into situations where we were going to have to do that. We were actually spinning up for it right at the end when they said, get the hell out of here. So, it was very real. We had equipment with us to be able to facilitate it, and we had already built multi-capable airmen teams to go along and make it happen. So, I mean, it was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we have no doubt that's one of the things we empower commanders with is getting that training done. I think one of the things that I would highlight, if I remember correctly, some of the things you guys were doing pre-deployment is you're putting in those proper risk mitigation measures. So you got, you know, extra instructors on the aircraft when you're doing more complex sorties. I think it's a good example for the team at large here at the wing. Like, it's great to push it up, and we embrace failure as a learning option in a training environment. And we can do that whenever we put proper risk mitigation strategies, control measures, and things like that into our training. And then, of course, you know, one of the things we can touch on here, Chief, right at the end is that drives us to make sure that our junior members are ready to take initiative, right? And so, you know, how do you think we do that in terms of empowering junior airmen and NCOs in order to make that happen?
Well, I mean, I believe empowerment isn't what we say, but it's what we allow. You know, empowerment starts with leaders giving intent and trust. And I hope leaders, once they give that intent and trust, they don't micromanage, right? So they gotta back off a little bit, let the NCOs, senior NCOs, do their job and see where it goes to. And one thing I really like to say all the time is they may not do it the way we want to do it or how we would have done it, but there's multiple roads to get to the end destination. So I think that's really important why you do the desired end goal, the intent, and let them get there. And I think that's how you empower them.
So, yeah, I completely agree. Once I took command, I guess I felt like we certify people to do certain missions as part of the Airlift Squadron, and then I feel like maybe we micromanage them too much after that. And ever since then, whenever I do a certification board, I look them in the eyes and I say, you are certified to do everything that the regulations require of you, whether it be the 3-3, the Vol 3, 202, Vol 3. So you're going to go do it, and I'm not going to get in your way. You know, just keep that in mind. Don't screw it up, you know. And we get out of the way, right, and we let them do their jobs. And when you do that, one, I think it really impresses upon the person that they're the last stop, right, before mission failure. So I think they take it more seriously, and then it's that much more rewarding when you give them that opportunity to execute, and then they nail it, right? And it makes them a better airman out of it. So
yeah, that rewarding part's I think is the most important part, because once they're allowed to do it and the action happens, they're automatically rewarded, because, like, look what I did, you know, and look what the commander let me do, and I didn't have to call him.
Hell yeah.
So I know we could sit here and talk about mission execution all day long. It's the most important thing we do. But I'd like to close out the discussion and remind folks that it's our mentality, it's our charge here at the wing to be ready to go. That's why the Chief and I are driving the wing towards our three priorities of ready airmen, airman development, and mission execution. We're super proud to be a part of the team, looking forward to a great drill weekend and seeing all the things that the wing's going to accomplish. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
That wraps up this episode of The Drop, and we'd love to hear from you. If you have ideas for future episodes, send them to us at 130.aw.public.affairs@us.af.mil. You can also visit us on our website at www.130aw.ang.af.mil and connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. From everyone at the 130th Airlift Wing, remember, stay ready to go.